your heart.
Eleanor Roosevelt, First Lady through the Great Depression, definitely had a way with words. She once wrote, "Learn from the mistakes of others. You can't live long enough to make them all yourself." You know, it's good to find a little bit of humor when we mess up, but it's better not to misstep at all. Today, host Rob West welcomes Mark Biller to talk about some typical investing boo-boos so you don't have to make them. Then it's your calls on anything financial, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, avoiding common investing mistakes. That's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, our friend Mark Biller is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, and if he's made mistakes, we don't know about them, and he probably wouldn't tell us anyway.
Well, if he has made mistakes, I'm sure he's learned from them. Let's just say that. Mark, great to have you back on the program.
Thanks. Good to be with you guys.
Well, you recently asked SMI members what they thought were their most significant investing mistakes, and I'm looking forward to hearing what they had to say so we can learn from what your SMI readers were thinking about. And so why don't you kick us off? Tell us what was first on the list.
Well, sure. Yeah, not surprisingly, you know, the biggest mistake that was mentioned by our SMI members was waiting too long to start investing. So one member wrote, typical example here, "My first mistake was waiting 18 months to start contributing to a 401k, which will cost me more than $300,000 by the time I retire. That probably cut the portfolio in half over a lifetime." Now, that's a very specific example. I'm sure it wouldn't always be that dramatic, but it does illustrate the point. Now, it's easy to understand why failing to start sooner was one of the most frequently mentioned regrets. Most of us feel kind of strapped when we're starting out in our careers. We don't have a lot of extra money to invest, at least it feels that way. Plus, you know, our good intentions to get started investing often get overcome by all the questions that pop up when a person finally does try to start. You know, where do I open an account? What do I invest in? How do I do this exactly?
Yes.
You know, you get stuck on these questions. Before you know it, another year's gone by and you still haven't started. So to counter that, what we tell new SMI members is they've got to stop allowing this implementation paralysis that I was just talking about. You can't let that thwart your good intentions to get going. You know, starting an investing program doesn't have to be real difficult. You make a few fundamental decisions, you take a few easy steps, and you can start successfully investing, even if your cash and your knowledge are kind of limited at the beginning. And that's really what we've helped, you know, tens of thousands of people do over the last 30 years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that really is critical. You need to just get started in so many situations. It doesn't have to be perfect, and you can always make changes as you learn. All right, before our first break, I think we have time for one more. What's next?
Sure. Well, you just mentioned learning, and ironically, the next mistake SMI members mentioned was not learning more about the basics of investing sooner. You know, at first glance, this kind of seems like the opposite of what I just said about just getting started, but it's really not. If you took physics, or even if you haven't, you've probably heard of Isaac Newton's law of motion, that a body in motion tends to stay in motion. Well, that's really the starting piece, what we just covered. You just have to get in motion. But once you're in motion, those basics of investing are actually pretty easy to pick up. You know, I think that people think it's going to be hard learning about investing, so they kind of put that off. But, you know, the same way you can flip on a light switch and take advantage of the benefits of electricity without necessarily understanding exactly what's going on, it's much the same way with investing.
Well, and it just seems like, you know, it's this thing that I'll never be able to grasp. And if I make a mistake, it's going to cost me a lot of money. But you can start slow. You can absolutely learn as you go. And by the way, soundmindinvesting.org is a great place to start not only learning the basics of investing, including some advanced strategies, but learning it God's way, because God has a lot to say about investing, getting a return on his money that you're the steward of, and so much more. Well, Mark, we're going to continue to unpack these mistakes your readers have made right around the corner.
And we'll tell you how you can actually read the article that this information comes from when we return. Mark Biller with us today, 800-525-7000. Call 800-525-7000.
Most couples can't talk about money, yet most money books expect them to. But how can you create a budget or pay down debt if you can't even talk about spending or saving with your mate? If you get tense about money or just plain avoid money conversations altogether, Thriving in Love and Money by Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn is for you. And it's yours free when you donate $25 or more to MoneyWiseLive.org. Thriving in Love and Money for a better relationship, not just a better budget.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
Honoring your parents isn't an easy task. Well, that's real, and I'm Hannah Lynn. When you're a child, this is so simple. It looks like obeying well, doing what you're told. But what does this look like when you're older? You've moved out of your parents' basement. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you." What does that mean? Someone recently told me that if you can have a healthy relationship with your parents, you can get along with anyone. I'm not sure if that's true, but I do know that according to Ephesians 6:2 through 3, this is the only commandment in the Bible with a promise attached to it. Honoring doesn't mean you do everything they say as an adult. But if you have a difficult parent, respond with respect and speak well of them. You'll be surprised how this may change your relationship. Honoring your parents is important to God. More on social media at That's Real Radio.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, we're talking investing today with Mark Biller. Mark is the executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org, which means he's in charge of and responsible for every word on their website. So go check it out today. If you find a typo, be sure to let us know. We'll pass that on to Mr. Biller. Now, if you'd like to speak with him and Rob West, here's a phone number to call. We have open lines at 800-525-7000.
Have you made some investing mistakes? Well, the readers of the Sound Mind Investing newsletter and website certainly have, and they were willing to share them. The question is, can you learn from them? And I'm confident you can. Mark Biller and the team at SMI recently put a survey out to all of their readers asking for their biggest mistakes. Number one, just before the break, we learned was waiting too long to start investing. How much are you giving up by waiting? The second was not learning more about investing basics sooner. And as Mark said, in so many cases, we just need to get started. We can learn along the way. Mark, what was mistake number three?
Yeah, so another one that came up frequently, Rob, was investing without a personalized long-term plan. So here we heard a lot of things like, when I started my career, began to have money to invest, I didn't have a strategy, and I randomly followed tips from coworkers. And you can guess how the rest of that story typically would go.
Yeah.
So, you know, the lesson here is pretty simple. No matter how good your specific investing choices may be, if they're made outside the framework of a larger plan that puts some boundaries in place and helps you manage risk, you're really inviting trouble. You know, SMI is huge on developing a personalized long-term plan. We talk about that a lot on these programs and sticking to that long-term plan. And not surprisingly, a lot of our resources on our website are devoted exactly to that topic.
Very good. Let's take one more, and then we'll get to some questions. By the way, if you have a question for Mark Biller today, investing related, maybe retirement or how to proceed in this market that's quite a bit of volatility in it, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your investing questions. Mark's going to stick around for the next few minutes and would love to chat with you. Mark, give us the next one.
Yeah, so a key part of a good investing plan, like we just talked about, is knowing when to get rid of an investment. So another mistake that came up a lot was not following a selling discipline. So we'd hear stories like, I purchased one share of Apple stock in 2012, got cold feet and sold it a month later. And, you know, of course, here we are several years later and Apple's worth five times what it was back then. So costly mistake there, but you know, the key there is that they didn't have a well-defined selling discipline. In that case, they sold too soon. More commonly, the selling mistake is holding on too long. So we often write about how one of the keys to success in investing is having a specific and objective selling discipline so that you know exactly what has to happen to trigger a decision to sell. Of course, then you still have to have the self-control to act when that trigger occurs, but at least you're ahead of the people who really have no idea when they're going to get rid of the investment that they just bought. And, you know, this brings up an important point where really the biggest problem with getting your investing ideas from the financial media, like a lot of people do, whether that's CNBC, The Wall Street Journal, or, you know, a coworker even, the problem isn't necessarily that you're getting bad investment ideas from those sources. It's that you're probably not going to have any idea when that good investment turns into a bad investment and needs to be sold. If you don't have any follow-up and those sources don't have a way to provide you with any follow-up, you're just getting a constant stream of new buying ideas. And that's how services like SMI really differ from a lot of other investment resources in that we're telling people what to buy, but also in our model portfolios, when to sell those investments and move on to something else.
Right. Let's, if you don't mind, Mark, let's take some calls, see how many we can get in before the break here. Orland Park, Illinois. And Rebecca, what's your question?
Yes, he just answered a few questions that I probably had in mind. I'm thinking about investing into $25,000 into a somewhat of an annuity. It has a 10% buffer. I'd have to get it for at least 4 to 5 years, and then it's tied to the stock market. Now I've never invested in that. I'm a little bit I'm nervous, and I just wondered, is this something that's going to cause me to lose a lot of sleep at night? Can I put it in there and just continue to think that this 10% buffer will cover my $25,000? I'm at the bank, the 1% is not paying very much, and I can't see where this is too much of a loser for me. Should I be concerned about that?
Sure. Rebecca, let me ask you, you mentioned $25,000 you were looking at putting in this annuity product. How does that relate to your overall investable assets?
It would be something that I would not need right away, but it would be something that I could be making some money off of, and the CDs are doing 1%.
Sure. And do you have other assets, not talking about emergency savings, but other investment assets, other places?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. I do. What would be roughly the total of your investable assets, if you don't mind sharing?
I've got over 200, 300, 400,000, something in that regard.
Okay, so $300,000 or $400,000, Mark. She's looking at putting $25,000 into an annuity product, trying to get a little bit more return. How would you advise her in analyzing this type of decision?
Yeah, Rebecca, is this within a retirement plan, or where would you be making this investment through?
It's going to be with Equitable Life Insurance.
Okay. All right. And do you are of those $300,000 to $400,000 of investments that you have, is any of that in the stock market already?
No. This is my first turn. I'm nervous about this.
Okay. Well, that's all very important, because if most of that other money was already in the stock market, then that would definitely tilt the decision quite a bit. Given that you don't really have much, if any, exposure to the stock market right now, that $25,000 is a relatively small portion of your total. And given that there is a buffer involved in that, to buffer the downside risk, you know, your total risk exposure to the stock market would still be fairly low. The biggest thing, Rebecca, whenever I'm dealing with any kind of an insurance investment product, an annuity like this, is there's a big variety of expenses that are associated with these types of plans. They tend to be fairly expensive ways to invest in the market. So I would pay very close attention to what the expenses are and ask them to detail those for you. I know that an annuity like this has some nice features like that buffer, but if you're paying an awful lot for that, you know, you can get a little bit of stock market exposure very, very cheaply on your own without the annuity. So you wouldn't want to be paying, you know, several percent in expenses to have them do that for you. Rob, what else would you be looking at here?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, your overall risk is very low if this roughly $350,000 outside of this money you'd be committing to the annuity is in CDs and cash equivalents, then this would be obviously a very small portion. An annuity product does accomplish what you're setting out to in the sense that it transfers the risk away from you to the insurance company, and they can offer some of these protections. But I think Mark is right on. It can be very expensive. And so you've got to understand what are the real costs and what are the implications of losing the flexibility of having access to the funds. In this case, it's such a small portion of your overall portfolio, I don't think it's that big a deal. So no clear red flags apart from you understanding the true cost of making this decision.
Rebecca, we're glad you called. And if you want to dive deeper into this before you make a choice, you might want to visit Mark's website, soundmindinvesting.org. Thank you very much. Montgomery, Alabama, love. Thank you for your patience. What's your question?
Yes. Good evening and blessing to you.
Thank you.
I am military retired, so I get an income, and then I'm federal retired, so I get that income. So I have about between $25,000 and $30,000. I don't know where to put.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Tell me a few things about your situation, love. It sounds like you have a good income stream that meets all of your obligations. You're probably living on a budget, and I suspect month to month all those expenses are covered. Do you have a liquid savings account right now?
Well, I have enough to meet my bills, plus enough if something happened to, say, my Social Security or anything like that, I will have enough to still cover all my bills saved.
Okay. So would you say apart from this money you're looking to invest, you have additional savings, emergency savings that would cover, let's say, 6 months' worth of expenses?
Well, not quite 6 months. No, sir.
Okay. What do you think? 3, 4?
Maybe 3.
Okay, very good. So 3 months' expenses. And do you have any debt to speak of?
Well, yes. I moved from one state to this state, and therefore I'm trying to sell a house in the other state, and it's about $885 monthly until I'm trying to sell it, though.
Okay. All right. If you don't have any debt, then it sounds like you're in pretty good shape. If this is money that's truly long-term, I think putting it in a good quality mutual fund, as long as you have at least 5 to 10 years to let it grow, would be great. I'd also head over to soundmindinvesting.org to learn more. They could be a great help to you.
And you're listening to MoneyWiseLive.org. We'll be right back.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
When God, in a strange sort of way, if I could use this word, sanctifies the whole thing and it conspires for our good. I will. The text does not say all things are intrinsically good or pleasant, but instead that the most agonizing sufferings and evils inflicted on believers will be turned to their good by God. Ephesians 1:11 is a verse that I say over and over again. I want to read it to you. It says this, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." It says he works out. Look at your neighbor and say, "He works out everything." Everything. See, he gives us freedom. We have freedom. But here's the deal. He's God. And so whatever happens, because he is God and he gets to, he can conform that in with the... We cannot mess this up. That's what I kept thinking. We can mess up our own lives. We cannot mess up God. We can't mess up God's plan. We just can't. And that we can see. Works out everything in conformity with the purpose and the plan according to his will.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Classes begin at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Great to have you aboard today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and joining us today as our guest is Mr. Mark Biller from SoundMindInvesting.org.
I suspect some of you listening today made some of the mistakes that the SMI readers volunteered that they had made mistakes on, and one of them was waiting too long to start investing. I know I've done that in the past. What about not learning more about investing basics sooner? The SMI reader said one of their mistakes was investing without a personalized long-term plan. Mark also heard from his readers that many of them were investing without following what's called a selling discipline, having a real plan not only to get in but to get out of a particular investment. Mark, what did you hear about diversification?
Yeah, so over-investing in a single stock came up quite a bit, Rob, as did over-investing in their employer's stocks. So those two kind of are tied together. You know, there's a principle that we talk about a lot that ultimately it's impossible, we believe, to self-destruct financially if you follow God's time-tested principles of stewardship. And one of those principles is that to protect against the uncertainties of the future, your investment should be diversified. So we talk about Ecclesiastes 11:2 that says that real plainly, divide your investments among many places, for you don't know what risks may lie ahead. And since you don't and really can't know what the future is going to hold, you never know with certainty which of your investments are going to turn out most profitably. And that's the rationale for diversifying. You want to spread out that portfolio into various areas so you're not going to be overinvested in anything that's particularly hard hit. Now, that is doubly important when it comes to your own employer's stock, because you already have so much invested in your company's success, your income, your health benefits, and so on. So you don't want to layer on top of that a huge investment in your own employer's stock.
Yeah, that's great advice. Mark, we have time just to hit a few of these other ones really quickly. I know one of the things that came up was not involving your spouse in the investing process. Why is that so important?
Yeah, you know, you've got the whole unity aspect, and I chuckle a little bit, but there's also, you know, the very tangible if something goes wrong factor. You know, if you go into it on your own and you haven't involved your spouse, or even worse, if your spouse had apprehensions and you did it anyway, then if that goes badly, not only do you have the financial impact of that, but you've got the relational impact of that on the marriage. So it's very important to involve your spouse, to have that unity, that coming together. And if you're both in agreement on the way in, then you can handle together whatever the outcome is, whether a good outcome or a bad outcome. But you don't want to be fractured along those lines.
Well, especially if there's one, and usually there is, more prone to taking risks, the other perhaps more conservative, and you might be able to talk yourself into an investment you should never be in if you're more prone to taking risks that perhaps your spouse might caution you against. I know another was following the market's impact on your portfolio daily. That certainly can be a mistake, cause you to react emotionally. And then leaving old 401k accounts with previous employers, we want to get those into IRAs. This has been so valuable, Mark. I know Steve's going to tell our listeners how to get a copy of this article, but just want to thank you for stopping by today.
Well, thanks. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks. It's always our pleasure as well. God bless you, Mark. The name of the article we've been discussing, Are You Making Any of These Common Investing Mistakes? You'll find it available to read without subscription when you visit their website. A subscription is something you might want to consider, however. It's just a great newsletter that comes out on a monthly basis. SoundMindInvesting.org.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, I'm Chris Fabry. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That's 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
Moody Bible Institute founder Dwight Lyman Moody once said,
"Take courage. We walk in the wilderness today, but in the promised land, tomorrow.
For Christ followers, we walk with a mission to share the gospel of Christ. Each day provides opportunity to invest in this mission. A charitable gift annuity to benefit Moody provides life income to you with the remainder supporting the work of the Moody Bible Institute. To find out much more, call 1-800-801-2171. That's 800-801-2171.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A hostage situation ending earlier today in Clear Lake, Texas, when a man and his mother exited a house where a day earlier three police officers had been shot and wounded. Two of the wounded officers treated and released, the third undergoing surgery. No details given on what started the incident, and the man's name has not been released. California utilities bringing back power over the weekend to thousands of customers. After a brief outage, the California system operator says the blackouts throughout the state caused by the failure of a power plant and the loss of wind power. More than 4,500 buildings remain threatened by a wildfire burning toward the Angeles National Forest. The lake fire in California just 12% contained now. On Wall Street, stocks finish mixed. The Dow lost 86 points, the NASDAQ gaining 110. This is SRN News.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live, where we meet each day to help and encourage each other to manage our money effectively and biblically. We're really glad to have you out there. So let's continue on. Cleveland, Ohio, that vicinity anyway. Hello, Ann. Thanks for your patience. What's your question?
Hi. Yeah. Hi. I retired this last March. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I retired this last March, and I have some retirement funds through my previous employer. I'm hoping to not draw on them for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. They're with Fidelity, some 401k, 403b funds that are in target date funds, and I also have mm-hmm. a Roth IRA. And I'm wondering, they want to manage them for me. It's 1.7% mm-hmm. to set up and 1.6% after that. Is that a good idea? Is that something I should do, or should I just leave them where they are? They seem to be doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good, Ann. What do you have roughly in total investable assets among those three accounts you described?
Well, there's three different target date funds. It's about $150,000 with those, and then the Roth is about $70,000.
So about $225,000 or so when you put them all together?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. And you said you will start to draw an income on these, but not for 3 years. The 1.7% you said for setup, is that covering the first year of management, or is it that on the front end, and then you're going to pay this ongoing fee on top of that?
Oh, that I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, in either case, that's a bit high for that amount of money. I would expect you to pay somewhere around 1.25% to 1.5%. Fees are coming down, and paying 1.7% a year on a $250,000 portfolio all in is a little more than I would expect. I think the key is you really want somebody who is going to take an interest in you, somebody that you interview and select because they know your situation. Of course, they have the experience and the integrity that you're looking for, but they really understand what God's calling is on your life and what you're trying to accomplish, what your goals are. We certainly don't want to take any greater risk than is necessary to accomplish your goals and objectives. We need to preserve this capital that you've worked throughout your life to amass so that when you do need to convert this to an income stream, that it's some number higher than $250,000 when you start to draw on it. Let's say it's, $350,000, and that you could have somebody that could help you then turn that into an income stream. But that portfolio needs to make sure that there's a portion that's there that could be drawn on in the event the market's down, so you don't have to sell the stock portion while the market's depressed. But also, so that you could generate a reasonable amount of income, not only through stocks, but bonds and perhaps CDs and other types of fixed income investments that would throw off the income that you're looking for. And I think that's best done through a managed account where you have an investment professional who's looking after it, somebody you can call, who's going to update you regularly on how things are going, but also can put that investment strategy in place focused on capital preservation and income when that time comes. And for right now, capital preservation and growth. So you get a little bit of growth while you're waiting. So what I would recommend that you do, Anne, rather than just kind of jumping at that first one, especially since it sounds like the fees they're quoting you are just a bit high, I would probably interview a couple of advisors there in the Cleveland area who this is what they do. I'd encourage you to check out a certified Kingdom advisor. This is somebody who has the experience and has met the character and integrity requirements, but also has been trained to bring biblical counsel. So the advice will align with your values and priorities as a believer. So if you go to moneywiselive.org, click on Find a CKA, you can put in your zip code there in Cleveland. I'd interview at least three before you made your decision, and then see if you can find somebody who could really help you understand not only what are you going to be paying, but also help you craft the investment strategy that works for you.
Ian, thank you very much. We appreciate that call today. Moving along to Florida, and Minnie, what's on your mind today?
Hi, good afternoon. Hi. So I have I was looking at my credit report, and I've followed you to pay bills. So I have this derogatory item that dropped off from my report because it's been a while.
Okay.
So I paid them. I made a 3-month installment. So I paid 1 month in July. And then in August, my Credit Karma report dropped 33 points.
Okay.
So I called them up and I paid the instead of two payments, I paid those two payments in one payment as soon as I saw that drop.
Yeah.
So, and then I had two accounts that the second one I paid in full at once. I didn't do an installment. So should I be expecting another 33 point drop, or should I not have paid it because it was not anymore in my credit report? But I said, you said we have to pay our loans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, what could have happened, Minnie, is that if in fact this account had dropped off of one of the three bureaus or maybe more than one, by you repaying it, it could have, now that it's got history and there's a transaction there that is reported, it could have brought that history back into the credit file where it had previously been removed. And if there was late payments or some sort of history on it that was negative, it could have introduced that back into the equation. But I wouldn't worry about that. The right thing to do is to get it paid off. I would make sure that you have some documentation that it has been paid in full. It will be noted as such. And I do like the idea, even if there's a temporary drop in your credit file, of you going ahead and cleaning up these old accounts, getting them paid off, getting that documentation in place, and then you can put them behind you and move on, generating positive credit history moving forward. So I don't think you've made a mistake here. I understand why this could have happened, but your credit score will ebb and flow just based on the information at the time the score is pulled. And I would proceed with going ahead and getting those other accounts paid off. Just make sure you're an on-time payer moving forward.
Minnie, God bless you. Thank you so much. Chicago, Illinois. Tina, what's your annuity question today?
Okay. So my question is, I have my husband's retirement account invested in annuity, New York Life Insurance Annuity. And I realized later on what I made a mistake. It's invested, it's done, and there's nothing I can do about it. But every year they say that we can do investment write-off, which means that your investment would be guaranteed in case of the stock market crash. But I have to pay 0.5% of every year for that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No matter what the market is, they will guarantee me once a year, whatever is in there. So it's about time now that I have to do that in September. So should I even consider doing this? I still have, I'm working, I'm 56. I still have another, God willing, 10, 15 years to work. So
okay.
What do you think on this?
Yeah. How much do you have in this annuity, Tina?
$382,000? Yeah.
Okay. You know, I would have an investment professional or a financial planner look over this for you. I wouldn't want to give you counsel right now without reading the fine print, because that's one of the challenges with these annuity contracts is that they are fairly complicated. And these riders can have a lot of nuances and clauses that either work for or against you, depending on the situation. And so I wouldn't want to take that lightly. This is a significant amount of money. Plus, it may be time to look at whether there's a better option for you to pull it out of the annuity and invest it otherwise. So I'd find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Chicago to look over everything for you. I think you'll be glad you did.
We're MoneyWise Live with Rob West. We'll be right back.
Your family and your money are two very important subjects. That's why in this month's MoneyWise e-magazine, we're giving your family tips and tools to grow closer to God, closer together, and closer to true financial freedom. Get practical advice to strengthen financial communication in your marriage, infuse more budget-friendly family activities into your week, and a lot more. Your free MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywise.org/signup.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. And being a good person or inviting someone to church is not sharing your faith. Being good doesn't get you or anyone else into heaven. And while most people accept an invitation to church, it's extremely rare for them to come to the Lord at a single church service. But that's where most Christians are today in the sharing of their faith. They're not sharing their faith. That's why we're in the mess we're in today. Most Americans don't know there's a God who loves them, that wants to give them eternal life. And how are they going to know unless someone tells them, unless you tell them, unless all of us tell them? This is a wake-up call for the church. With 80% of our population living outside the influence of the church, our role as Christ's ambassadors is no longer an option. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
When it comes to giving kids the freedom to make their own choices, are you afraid your children will make mistakes? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Let me ease your mind. Your kids will mess up. There's no doubt about it. But here's the good thing. It'll give you plenty to talk about. Use their mistakes as an opportunity to help them make better decisions in the future. Let the foolish decision be useful. When your son or daughter blows it, this is your chance to value them and love them even through the pain of their mistakes. Don't shame your kids or rescue them from consequences. Do you think your kids aren't ready to make their own choice? Of course they're not. But your teen's mistakes can be excellent teachers.
Want more parenting help from Mark Gregston? Find encouragement through articles, books, and more at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Nice to have you out there today. It's MoneyWise Live, taking your calls on anything financial. But before we take another call, Rob, you have something you wanted to mention?
You know, let me just encourage you. This is a great time as we head out of summer and enter the fall. For you to consider prayerfully coming alongside us to support our work here at MoneyWise Media. We can't do what we do each day without the generous support of our friends and partners in ministry who not only pray for us and show up online and contribute to the program with your questions, but also send in their financial support. That's how we exist. And if you would prayerfully consider your part, we would be grateful if this ministry has blessed you in some way. Just head over to the website, moneywiselive.org. In the top right corner, you'll see the word donate. If you click it, it's quick, easy, and secure, and we would be most grateful. So would you consider today partnering with us? And thanks in advance.
Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Tony. Thanks for holding, my friend. How can we help you?
Hi, Bob. Rob, this is Tony, and just wanting to know if you've ever heard of the idea of paying off a mortgage using a HELOC, so to say, and wanted to get your advice on that. Pretty much, that's about it.
Yeah, Tony, I appreciate the question. You know, there's a lot of YouTubes floating around on this concept, and you know, it does depend on your income, the size of your mortgage, but this idea of accelerated payments to your mortgage principal by using a HELOC, it comes up pretty regularly, and it does look like a good idea on paper. In practice, it tends to be a bit complicated, and depending upon how you go about it, it can be expensive because there'll be folks that'll help you kind of do it behind the scenes. You've got to have positive monthly cash flow and really a healthy income to make it work. You've got to add a home equity line of credit to your home. In certain months, you've got to put all of your paycheck towards your mortgage. And then the idea is, in many cases, you use a credit card for all the other expenses. But then when the credit card bill comes due, you pay it off with the HELOC. And then the next payment, you pay off the HELOC instead of your mortgage. And you just kind of play this game around and around. But obviously, a lot can go wrong. A lack of discipline. It's got to be really absolute if you're going to do this. Unexpected expenses could interrupt the process. And then, obviously, you'd be stuck with a mortgage and the HELOC. So I really would encourage you just to simply put discretionary funds toward your mortgage principal, which means you got to go back to that spending plan, look for ways to cut back, find margin that you can apply and accelerate that traditional mortgage. A lot less complicated. You don't have the risk of the interest rates rising on you. And if you had a disruption or something unexpected, you wouldn't have to worry about just the complexity of having this HELOC alongside the mortgage and all of the pieces and parts that go with it. So for me, Tony, I'd stay with it, away from it, just a little too complex for me. You know, it's not that they're, you know, playing a shell game. I mean, you can certainly make the math work on paper, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Tony, we appreciate it. Thank you. We wish you the best. Cleveland, Ohio. Craig, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife and I bought our first home about 5 years ago, and it was a bit at the bottom of the market. We bought for about $126. Since then, the house has increased in value to about $175. Oh, so back in January, great. We refinanced, and we were at 4.99 initially, and we refinanced down to 4, and we were able to roll in a couple of home improvement loans that we had taken out, and ended up cutting a year off our mortgage and saved us $300 a month. So it seemed like a great decision.
Yeah.
And then since then, the market interest rates have dropped again.
Sure.
And we have the opportunity to refinance, you know, we're 6 months later, but we would drop now more than a point and a half again off of the remaining balance of our mortgage. And so I had applied through I talked to a couple mortgage brokers, and one of them told me, well, you could drop another 4 years off your mortgage and save yourself about $45,000 over the course of the loan, or and go to a 20-year mortgage, or you could go to a 30-year mortgage, make a lower payment, and take the money that you would save monthly on your bill and invest it, and you'd make more money on the investment than you would on the interest that you're saving on a loan. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, Craig, well, I appreciate the question. A couple of thoughts. Number one is I would want to understand not only how much total interest you're going to save, which it sounds like he shared that with you. It was a little over $40,000, and what it's going to do to the term. It sounds like you're going to save several years. But I'd also want to know how many months until you break even on the cost of the refinance, because you got to make sure that you're going to be in the home at least that long, so that it's worthwhile in doing. It's one thing, you know, to stay in this home and stay there forever, but we know the reality is most people just don't do that. If the Lord blesses you with kids or more kids, or, you know, your situation changes, you take a job out of state, all of a sudden now you're selling a home and you haven't recouped the cost. So I just want to make sure you would do that. As to the idea that you could go back to a 30-year, take the difference in the reduced mortgage payment and invest it, I'm just not a big fan of, even though I agree on paper that can work, you can run the numbers and see how it can pay off. I'm just not a big fan of borrowing to invest. So I'd rather you really focus on getting that mortgage paid off, having the peace of mind that comes with that, knowing that you're on track to get this paid off as quickly as you can, and then take your other funds and live in such a way that you have margin that you can use to not only invest in retirement accounts, but in other vehicles alongside whatever debt and savings goals you have, debt payoff goals and giving as well. So I would say definitely take a look at shortening the term, saving interest, but let's look at the break even and make sure that makes sense to you. And then I would avoid, this longer term with the investing strategy.
Good question, though, Craig. Sounds like you guys are really doing a lot of the right things. We wish you best as you move forward. Thanks. Time for at least one more. Claremont, Florida. Cecilia, what's your question for Rob?
I would just like to say that I got into work at a very late age, at 59. And when I started at work, I signed up for a pension plan. And now I'm 72. And about a year ago, they told me that I would have to start taking some of that money out of the pension plan. But what I'd like to know is, does it continue to build up while I'm working, or does it just finally get all used up?
So the pension plan, yes, you're going to have to start taking withdrawals at 72. But are you saying you're going to continue working beyond that?
Yes, I'm already past 72.
Okay. All right. And how long do you plan to be there?
I don't know. Another couple of years.
Okay, very good. Typically, you would see a situation where, if you started to take that money out, you would not see that continue to grow necessarily. So I think the opportunity for you is, to continue to work, knowing this income will be there for the rest of your life. But you're going to want to get them to explain the fine print to you, because not all pensions are created equal. So what I would do, Cecilia, is just go back to the HR department, whoever administers this plan, and just have them sit down and explain to you what needs to be taken out now, and then what your ultimate pension payout will be down the road, and the implications of you continuing to work into the future, so they can just give you all of the details so you understand fully what's going to be happening. Because I'd hate to advise you on what's going to take place, given that I don't know the ins and outs of your particular plan. But kudos to you for continuing to work, and it sounds like the Lord is providing, and I know having that guaranteed income source alongside Social Security will be a real blessing to you.
Mm-hmm. Cecilia, thank you very much. And Rob, let's see if we can dive into an email quickly. How about Lauren, who asks, we refinanced our mortgage 8 years ago to 4.75%. Should we refinance again and pay all the fees again? Is it worth it to get it down by a point or a half a point?
So if you refinanced your mortgage to 4.75%, it can absolutely make sense to refinance again. I think the key is, are you going to save enough in total interest? Are you going to reduce the term? And then the third piece, which I just talked to the previous caller about, is how many months is it going to take for you to break even on the cost of the refinance? That's really the key in terms of what you're looking at there, Lauren. So get them to not only calculate the saved interest total, but the number of months before you break even, and then compare that to what you believe your plans are with regard to this particular home. If you don't know if you'll be there long term, it may make sense to avoid it. If you really think this is the place you're going to be for quite a while, the next 5 years at a minimum, then it could absolutely make sense for you to do it all over again, just because of the significant drop in rates we have seen in the last several months.
Rob, how about refinancing with an online bank as opposed to a brick and mortar bank or finance company? Or someone down the street from where you live?
Absolutely. I'd be checking all over. You know, we've seen studies, Steve, that we've talked about recently about how, you know, we'll often shop pricing on so many things, but we fail to do it on mortgages, which, you know, is one of the biggest purchases we'll make or expenses we'll have. So absolutely. I'd head over to bankrate.com and look and see who has the most attractive rate packages with a highly rated bank and compare that alongside a local option or something your mortgage broker may produce.
All right. Great information. Thank you very much, Rob. We'll come back and give it another try tomorrow. Our number remains the same. If you didn't get through today, give us a try tomorrow. We'll be back 800-525-7000. We'll be talking about or chatting about anything financial, no specific topic, 800-525-7000. And again, visit our website if you haven't done that in a while. Lots of additions and changes on a regular basis. It's moneywiselive.org, moneywiselive.org. And this program, MoneyWise Live, is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much for listening and for telling others about us. My thanks to our technical crew today, Amy, Judy, Aaron, and Jim Henry. And thank you again for listening and for joining us. Hope you have a great remainder of your day, and come back and join us again tomorrow.